Your way in our lives. God of transformation, transform us. God of renewal, renew us. God of revival, revive us. God of resurrection, resurrect us. God of elevation, elevate us. God of promotion, promote us. God, you reign supreme. God, holy God, make us holy unto your name. Let your word be manifested in us. Thank you, Father, that you have not given to us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of your power, your love, and your sound, matter, disciplined mind. We pray for your church. Raise it up with power, demonstrating your glory like never before. Let the storms receive the word of rebuke and the waves be calmed by your peace. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. There are some things that it's hard for us to pray about because we know they are part of the mosaic of things, the mosaic of time. One of those things is persecution. Persecution. The Word of God is very clear that believers will be persecuted for their faith. That is an undeniable fact. Even in the book of Revelations, it talks about saints being killed, being slain, martyred. 2,000 years after the Lord Jesus Christ came and died for the sins of the world, you think we'll have less martyrs today than then. But the reality is that the believers that have been killed every day for their faith, no less than 13 by the counts of 2020, something like that, every day. Churches have been burned every day, no less than 20 around the world every day. Homes of believers pillaged every day because of their faith. I received word just 2 days ago in a particular area of a particular nation. Believers' homes, churches were burned. People were killed from a false accusation. It's like this. Somebody who doesn't like you can just come and say, well, you burnt our holy book. Believers generally won't do that. And that's all the trigger that it takes. No case. A mob just comes and just starts destroying things. One of the nations in the list of the most violent against Christianity, top in the list, is Pakistan, a nation that we love so much and that we've reached out to. But it's very dangerous to be a believer in Pakistan. And one will find it difficult to see the name of this country listed in the list. Nigeria, that's the country I come from. Persecution of Christians is very high. But Nigeria boasts at least 50%+ of Christians. But the northern part is mostly Islamic and persecution is high there. Another nation that will be hard to associate with that will be the Democratic Republic of Congo. We love the Congolese. They are amazing worshipers. There is no way you have a Congolese prison worship team praising God that you are going to sit down. I don't care who you are. You're going to start moving sooner or later. Something is going to, when they start worshiping God and their amazing voices. Oh my God. I love worshiping with Congolese. But persecution is very high. The attack on the church, very high. Mozambique, Cameroon, Central African Republic, India, Mali, South Sudan, Ethiopia, Eritrea, and on and on and on and on. Here in North America, there is a persecution. It's not the same kind of deadly persecution where you get killed physically. What are persecutions at the job places? One of the things I was doing a television program this afternoon with three other brothers. It was such a powerful experience. I talked to the audience about the position that we as believers take in so many areas of our lives. The church has promoted this nonchalant, laissez-faire approach. We have left the public field to the world. We build our Christian schools. Oh, we are going to get away from the world and their bad teachings and their whatever else. So we isolate ourselves and we get the right teaching and everything is in order in our enclave. Forgetting that that's not where our children are going to stay the rest of their lives. They're going to go into the public sphere, and all these other people over here have been trained with their liberal systems. We've gotten away from politics, and we left it to those people that don't know God. We've gotten away from a lot of stuff. But you cannot run away from the world. You are not of the world, but you are in this world. And if Christians have been persecuted, the Lord said something, says, if the salt loses its salt, what else is it good for but to be trodden under the foot of men? We've created most of our problems by not standing for what we believe in the public arena. We want to be so Christian in our little churches, but not Christian out there. Look at the world. There's a very low percentage of the people in our world today, 0.0 something, that claim to be transgender. Maybe about 1 to 2 or maybe 3% of people that claim to be gay, but they are running the agenda because they're not hiding in the closet. We think staying in the closet is what we are all about. We're supposed to go pray in the closet, but you've got to come out of the closet and live out the life of God in the public place. We've let go of the public arena, and so we're so shocked. Oh my God, they're persecuting us. No, they're persecuting us because we are not standing. We've not come to the open place and demonstrated the power of God. Our persecution and our being trodden underfoot is because we have not taken a stand. And that stand being that there is a greater kingdom. God has goodness and his wonderful dealings with the sons of men is a gift that we are light. We are light. The light shines and the darkness comprehended it not. Jesus, our Lord, said, a city on the mountaintop cannot be hidden. He says, don't take your lamp and hide it under the bushel. Let it shine. No matter how small or little your light is, let it shine. Let it shine. The darker it is, the brighter that light is going to be. Today, I want us to pray for the persecuted church. But in line of praying for the persecuted church, I want us to pray that we be the church that is shining, that we stop hiding and cowering